It's refreshing to worship God, isn't it? Does something good for the heart. Something refreshing about being able to sing to God, about being able to be in his presence, about being able to pray for each other, to spend time in God's word. As I begin sharing today, I'm going to be sharing a bit of my personal journey and why I'm here, standing here today. Never thought I'd be here. This was never my plan, but it was God's plan. So I'm going to be sharing just a little bit of my story with you. But before I begin that, I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, just thank you so much for the promise of your presence. I thank you so much that we can gather together on this day that you have blessed. And we can be here and we can experience Jesus in a deeper way. Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, as I share my story and as I share some verses from your word, Lord, may it speak to our hearts and may it help each of us on our journey closer to Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So we're celebrating Veterans Day this weekend, celebrating freedom and how we go to fight for freedom, right? We're so thankful for our veterans. I'm so thankful for Jeremy. I'm thankful for Jeremy for more than just what he's doing there, but he's also been doing a workout program for all of us that's been super fun. We go out like 3 or 4 times a week with him and about 6 or 7 other church members, and it's been a lot of fun. Been getting in better shape because of his boot camp expertise, so I'm thankful for the Army for more reasons than just freedom. But when it comes to Veterans Day, we celebrate freedom, right? We celebrate how people have fought and died so that we could have freedom. Now, if you pull out your bulletin and you look at the front of it, isn't this freedom? Look at that. Imagine a sign if you were driving down the 99 and it said, "No limit." I would love that. No speed limit? Are you serious? Now that is freedom. But wait a second. We fought and people died so we could have freedom so that people could tell us we can only drive 70 miles an hour. Are you serious? I'm free. You can't tell me what to do. When you think about it, the United States of America has stricter laws than most countries in the entire world. I mean, there's a lot stricter penalties. There's you steal here, you're most likely going to get in trouble for it. You kill here, you know, some countries, they might not be able to find you. In America, they're going to find you, they're going to lock you up, and they might put you to death. That's freedom? Is it freedom? What is freedom? I mean, all these limits and stuff, is that freedom? Well, I grew up in a good Christian, I think one of the dollars for the children's offering is still here. I grew up in a Christian home where there were limits in my house. I learned about the Bible, I learned about God, and I learned what God wanted me to do. But for me, I craved freedom. I craved a life without limits. I wanted a life where I could do whatever I wanted, where I could be free. And you know, for a long time, that manifested itself in some not too harmful ways. From the time I was really little, my dad and my brother really hated wrestling with me because I was determined that my body would not limit me. It was not going to be a limit what pain I went through, anything like that. So, like my dad and my brother, I'd hear them wrestling, and so I'd go running across the room, and I'd dive headfirst into them, and I have kind of a big head, so I'd use my skull to crack against them, and then they'd be like, "Oh, why do you take it so seriously, man? Watch out for your body." I was like, "Why? This is serious. We're going to play." And I would play as hard as I could. We'd set up stuff in our house where we could jump off the banisters and do flips. And I just wanted to break all the limits possible in my life. I wanted to go the distance, even though my mom, sadly, would lose some of her precious lamps and other things in the house in the process of our playing as hard as we possibly could. I wanted freedom. I wanted to go the distance. And you know, I wanted to be able to push my body as far as possible. Sometimes I would athletically try to push my body. And some of you know about when I was a part of the bike-a-thon. I was in the 12, 13 years old, and there's this bike-a-thon that takes place where once a year you get this chance to be sponsored to ride around in a circle for 9 hours. And at the end, if you ride like a really long ways, they give you a trophy. And so this was so amazing to me as a young kid that I thought, wow, I'm going to throw my life into that. I'm going to change my entire diet. I'm going to start training every day. I'm going to do all these different things so that I can ride in this bike-a-thon around in a circle, around in a circle. Because that was exciting as a kid, right? But then you get that trophy and you're like, oh, that trophy was cool, but there's got to be a little more important things. You know, you start to grow up a little bit and you're like, okay, there's more exciting things in life. And I remember working at summer camp and I got to do rock climbing instructor one summer. I'm not a rock climber like Pastor Brian. He's an amazing climber, but I got a little bit of climbing in that summer. It was a lot of fun, but throughout the summer, we're like, okay, how can we push the limits? And I had another friend who was rock climbing who we tried to push the limits as much as possible. They have this, I don't know, 30, 40-foot wall at Camp Awona. And so what we decided, okay, we'll practice lead climbing. And pretty soon we're like, hey, it's kind of fun to like climb a little bit above your anchors and drop. And we're like, how about a little bit higher? And pretty soon we figured out that you can basically put an anchor halfway up the rock climbing wall. And then you can climb up to the top of the wall. And you can drop almost to the bottom, but not hit the bottom without getting hurt. We're like, oh, that's fun. We can push the limits. And thankfully, we didn't get hurt. You see, I always liked to push the limits. I just wanted freedom whatever way it could. When it came to skiing, I loved to snow ski. And we would go to Mammoth Mountain with some friends there. And there were two guys that were my age who, they kind of got annoyed with me skiing because I was obsessive about pushing the limits. I was like, okay, what run have we not skied at Mammoth? And if you've ever skied Mammoth before, there are some crazy runs there. So we'd get up to we started at this one place that I'm like, hey, it says experts only, let's go there. I wasn't an expert, but I'm like, let's go to the experts only section. So they're like, okay, Zach, if you say so. So then we're skiing down it and it gets steeper and steeper and the moguls are like bigger than we are. We're like, wow, that was crazy. We get to the bottom and we're shaking there. I was like, let's go to the top of the mountain where they have chutes up there. I don't know exactly what these are like, but let's go up there. So we go up and we're like, we're going to push the limits. We're going to go further. And my friends were just like, do we really have to? Can't we just have fun today? Do we really have to go do this? I'm like, yes, guys, it's going to be worth it. So we get to the top of the mountain and we did a couple of the chutes. And then there was this one that we dropped into it and you're skiing down and you have no idea what's coming, but the rock walls come up on both sides of you and it gets narrower and narrower. And I guess it's basically one where you pretty much just have to go down it. But we weren't at that level in our skiing capacity. So we're like jumping back and forth like this. And then like our skis are scraping on the rock walls on either side as we're going down. And thankfully we didn't die. That's basically what I'm thankful for because I had no business being there. I'm not a great skier. I had no business doing that. But I thought if I just push the limits, then I can have fun. You know, I kept pushing myself, pushing the limits to what I thought would bring excitement, what I thought would bring freedom, what I thought would be fun in life. But at the same time, I still listened to the stuff my parents had told me about. Because it was kind of like when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, at the dinner table, my mom loved broccoli. So she would put this, it looked as a little kid, like a mound of broccoli on my plate. And I hated broccoli. It was terrible. But she had this mound of broccoli there. And I would look at it and I would think about it. I'm like, oh, do I have to eat the broccoli? And then it popped in my little mind. I was like, hey, Mom, is there dessert? And she knew that if there wasn't dessert, there was no way I was eating that broccoli because I was told that if I ate the broccoli, I could have dessert, but otherwise, I couldn't have dessert. If there wasn't dessert, I wasn't about to get the broccoli. I wasn't going to go through the pain, the torture, the taste in my mouth of eating that broccoli just because my mom said it was good for me wasn't enough. I wasn't going to eat that stuff if there wasn't dessert. And kind of in my Christian walk, that's the way it was. Like, I knew that there was dessert at the end. I knew that there's heaven. And in Revelation 22:14, it says that those who keep the commandments have right to the tree of life. They have right to enter the city of God. And so I said, okay, I want to enter the city of God. I want to go in I want to be able to take part of that tree of life. So I'm going to keep the commandments. But I really just want to have fun in life. I want to do what I want to do. But I'm just going to do the minimum whatever I can in order to be there and be saved. Friends, I believe that's what Paul is talking about when he talks about the letter of the law in the New Testament. Just going by what is the minimum, what's this basic requirement, rather than the spirit of the law which goes so much deeper, which Jesus, when he takes the law, he takes it to the spirit of the law. And when in Matthew 5, he talks about, it says, you shall not commit adultery. He says, not only should you not commit adultery, but don't look at a woman lustfully. Jesus takes it to a whole new level. Whereas for me, it was like, okay, what's the minimum requirement? Okay, you're telling me that Sabbath is important. Okay, so what time does Sabbath start? Okay, so starting at Sabbath, what do I not have to do during Sabbath hours? Okay, I'm not going to do, okay, so I'm going to do the minimum requirement if I have to because I want to get to heaven. It's a terrible way of reasoning, and it wasn't fun. It wasn't because my parents taught me that. It was because I began to just focus on other things in life. Other things in life just became all-consuming to me. And you know, at first it was good things. You know, the stuff that I've shared about were good things. But it began to lead down an entirely different road. Before I jump into that, look at Matthew chapter 19 with me. Matthew chapter 19. Jesus tried to get across what I finally am beginning to learn a long time ago. Matthew chapter 19, which is on page 954, if you use the Bible in your pew. In Matthew 19, a person comes up to Jesus and asks him a very important question, a question that we all kind of wonder about. Matthew 19 and verse 16, he says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This is kind of my mentality when I was growing up, right? Like, what can I do? What do I have to do? What's the minimum I have to do in order to have eternal life, in order to have heaven, in order to have the dessert at the end? Okay, what's the broccoli I have to eat on the way there? That was the way I reasoned. This is what the man comes up to Jesus and he says, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Look at Jesus' response. It's amazing. Verse 17. So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Trying to search and see if this man really understands who he's talking to. He's talking to God on earth. But then look at how Jesus goes on. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. So Jesus says, you know, the commandments are important. Keep the commandments. Why? Did he say the same thing that the rich young ruler said? If you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. What does it say there? Verse 17. But if you want to enter into what? What does it say? Life. What did the rich young ruler ask about? Eternal life. It may seem like a small difference there, but it's a huge difference. You see, the rich young ruler came and said, okay, Jesus, what do I have to do to get to heaven? Jesus said, hey, here's how you have life, abundant life. Not just life in heaven, but this is what's going to make your life here and now the best you can possibly imagine. It's going to be beyond your wildest dreams. Here's how you have life. That's what the commandments are all about. Look back at Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. That's going to be page 705 if you're following along in your pew Bible. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17, amazing promise. It says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. God gives this amazing promise that I'll teach you to profit. I'll teach you the way that you should go. But then look at what he says in the next verse. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace, or that word there, shalom, can be like well-being, all over good life. Then your peace would have been like a river. and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Oh, that you had kept my commandments, because then it would have been good for you. That's what Jesus is trying to tell this rich young ruler. He's saying, hey, keep the commandments. Why? Not so that it's a burden to you, but keep the commandments so that you can have life. Not just eternal life. That's essential. That should be our focus. But even more so, life here and now. You see, my obsession with freedom, with breaking the limits so that I could find freedom my own way, led me down some dangerous paths. I looked at the speed limit signs in America, and I said, hey, not having that kind of freedom is not right. I'm an American, and I have the right to speed. So I would drive as fast as I could. In my cars, it was frustrating to me that I drove, cheap Honda Civics and Honda Accords, and they have governors on them. It's kind of frustrating. You get to about 130 miles an hour, and they tell you you can't go any faster. And so I would downshift to fourth gear, and I discovered if you go to fourth gear, I really shouldn't be telling you this. Maybe old cars don't do this, but in my car, if you shift to fourth gear, you can go past 130, the governor doesn't kick in. It was an amazing thing. I got a little bit more freedom. I could go a little bit faster. I was totally missing the point. Those signs are there, why? They're there to give me freedom to live a healthy, wholesome life so I don't die. I'm thankful to be here today. I really shouldn't be walking here today, because the stuff I started doing in high school was ridiculous when I look back on it. When I look at how every morning I had a 45-minute drive to school, but I would try to make it 30 minutes. It was on a two-lane highway going through the mountains from Oakhurst down to Fresno. And on the way there, other people were obeying the speed limit, so I began trying to see how many people I could pass on the way to school. And as I got more and more, each day I was like, hey, I should start counting. And so I would keep a tally to see how many cars I'd passed on the way down, see how many cars I could get past on my way down to school. And then I began to learn something. People will move out of your way in the other lane, even when you're going head on with them. I learned this one day, and then that afternoon I was bringing my friend home from school. And I said, hey, watch this. He's like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? I'm like, check this out. And I pulled out into the passing lane, and I'm passing cars. One, two, three. And then there's a car coming. He's like, hey, man, get over. I'm like, why? Get over. What are you doing? I'm like, no, man. Watch this. He'll move out of the way. Ridiculous stuff I was doing. And thankfully, that guy moved out of the way, and I'm still here today. I was breaking limits like a madman, because I was out of control. I was trying to control my own life, and I was completely out of control. I should have died many times on back mountain roads where I totally melted the hubcaps on my car and nearly took out trees on the way. I don't understand why God has me here today, but I'm so thankful that He's a merciful God, that He sees us where we're at. But in all that driving, there wasn't freedom there. I went to high school, was playing sports, and was involved in every sport, football and basketball and volleyball, trying to throw myself into that stuff. But again, winning games, it really doesn't pay off that much in the end. You just want to win another game. It just kept winding up that I felt empty. Not that those things are necessarily bad, but it was my focus, it was my obsession in life, rather than looking for freedom in Jesus Christ. And then I began to look in other places. I realized that I needed a little more freedom in how I interacted with people, and so I began to take some substances into my life that I had been taught not to my whole life, but I decided to start. Why not start drinking? What's the big deal? So I began to drink, and I thought, hey, this brings happiness. This makes me feel a little better, and this makes me interact a little better. And I began to need this happiness all the time. Like I thought at first that it was a great thing, but I began to become more and more dependent on it. Here I am, a kid who grew up in a great Christian home where people tried to protect me, and I'm beginning to hurt myself. I'm beginning to hurt the people around me. I'm beginning to become so sick. I'm beginning to wake up places in backyards with puke all over the place, and I don't understand what's happened. I say, God, why did you protect me during that time? I shouldn't be here today. You know, in Ephesians 5, verse 18, which is on page 1127 in your Bible, it says something profound. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. It says, don't be drunk with wine. That's dissipation. That's waste. That's meaningless to you. But what does it go on to say? But be filled with the Spirit. Why does it go on to say be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, what does the Holy Spirit bring us? Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Why do we put most substances into our bodies that we put most substances in for? We're looking for peace. We're looking for joy. We're looking for love. And we wind up empty. God says, I want to give you peace. I want to give you love. Don't be drunk with wine. It's dissipation. It's a waste. It's not going to pay off. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only one who satisfies. I can tell you from experience. I can tell you from being a high school student who went from growing up in a Christian home where I should have known better to going to school and carrying around a Gatorade bottle that was spiked so that I could feel happy all day long. Friends, it doesn't pay off. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't make a difference. I'm so grateful that my parents loved me the way that they did. Throughout this time, they were praying for me. And even though I would call up and say I was sick and was somewhere that they knew I wasn't, they still just kept loving me. They just still kept praying for me because they wanted me to know Jesus more than anything else. They weren't embarrassed of me, but they wanted me to know Jesus. You see, in John 8:34, Jesus says something profound. He says, whoever commits a sin becomes a slave to that sin. I began to watch that happen in my life and the lives of all of my friends. Because if you've ever been to a house after a party and you look at the house, you see, man, that's messed up what really happened there. I remember one day when the lights turned on, I was supposed to be at a party, but then I ended up getting called by a friend to go somewhere else. And so we were there and we came back afterwards after everybody had been drinking and doing stuff. And I looked at the house and the roommate had just come and she hadn't been drinking either. And we looked at the house and what had taken place in the house. And we're like, man, this is sick. This is messed up. Like, what kind of life are we really living? Lights began to turn on in my life. And I began to look in other directions. Unfortunately, I didn't look straight to Jesus. I began to look to relationships, began to throw myself into a relationship that really wasn't God-centered, and I was trying to find fulfillment in that one girl. But guess what? That didn't fulfill me either. In college, I began taking business and began throwing myself into making money as much as possible. But again, I found it was empty. Really, it doesn't pay off. That's why Jesus said, don't store up wealth here on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but store it up in heaven. Jesus knows that to keep the commandments brings life. It brings life here and now. If only the rich young ruler had realized that. Look at the story back in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew 19, the rich young ruler gets this amazing opportunity from Jesus in which he says, if you want life, keep the commandments. Then in verse 18, he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting straight from the Ten Commandments. The young man said to him, he was excited, he said, well, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. That's the invitation that Jesus Christ gives us. You see, life comes from following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law, who was the embodiment of the law. He knows what life is like. He knows how to have an abundant and a full life. He knows what will fulfill you like nothing else. He knows how to give you freedom. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth is Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ sets you free. And I began to experience this in my life. I began to recognize how empty I was, and I believe it was because my parents were praying for me, that I began to recognize the emptiness and the void in my life. And in that time period, I decided, you know what? Maybe they were right about the Bible. Maybe I really need that. So I began to just read a little bit in the Bible every day. I would read a chapter in Proverbs every day, and I'd read 1 Corinthians 13 every day because I recognized that I was lacking in love. If you do nothing else in your life, if you don't want to change anything, start with reading the Bible. Just read a little bit in the Bible. I didn't start like changing the habits of my life. I didn't start like suddenly going to church every Sabbath. I didn't start keeping the Sabbath. I was still going out and doing whatever I wanted to do, making it my day instead of the Lord's day. And yet, God began to transform my life. He began to change what I wanted to do in life. As I began to just spend that time letting his word come in and transform my heart. God transformed my life. And I believe it was an answer to the prayers of many people for me that I began to recognize that this life is empty. So I began to pray something. I said, hey, you know this relationship I'm in, God, I've invested so much into it that I can't back out now. But if you want this to come to an end, then end it. And so I thought that would get me off the hook. We'd be okay then because that relationship wouldn't just come to an end after 3 years and we were going to get married, right? Well, guess what? Within 3 months that summer, relationship, I got a phone call and it was over. Out of the blue from what I thought. But God knew what he was doing. And at that point, I didn't know what to do. I was sick. I thought, man, everything I've thrown my life into is gone. What am I doing? Where am I going with life? What am I going to do? And then the thought hit me. Finally give God a full chance in your life. I wish I hadn't have hit rock bottom in order to realize that I needed to give God 100%. I wish that the rich young ruler had have realized what Jesus was really offering him. I mean, imagine what the rich young ruler gave up. What could the rich young ruler have had? Maybe he had 10,000 camels, a palatial estate in Israel. Maybe he had some servants. He gave up walking in the footsteps of Jesus. He gave up seeing the blind's eyesight restored. He gave up seeing the lame start walking again. He gave up seeing the dead raised. He gave up being sent out by Jesus and given power himself to cast out demons and to heal. He gave up all of that so that he could enjoy whatever he had, his palatial estate and his camels, which are gone today. He gave up walking in the footsteps of Jesus. He gave up being a part of the book of Acts. Maybe we would have heard about this rich young ruler as he gave his life to God and what he had done for God. Friends, I'm here to tell you today that when you give your life to God, when you live your life by his commandments, not because they save you, but because Jesus loves you and you love Jesus and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then when you keep his commandments, it brings you life. That's what it's all about. I began to find that out very quickly because here I was heartbroken and I thought my life was empty. I said, God, I want a relationship. I really need a relationship, but I'm going to follow you first. And so I took that next year off and I said, I'm going to take a year and I'm going to do just ministry full time for you, God, this year. Finally, I'm going to hold nothing back. I got nothing left anyway. Here you go, God. Within a few months, Leah came into my life. I met Leah on that ministry team, and as we're working together, I was amazed at the type of girl she was. And as our friendship developed and it was centered on God, As our relationship was centered on helping other people, I was filled with joy all the time. Our relationship was one that was always happy rather than the ups and downs of my previous relationship. And I began to realize that what Jesus says is that he gives us abundant life. Psalm 37:4 says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And that's been my experience over and over again as I've realized that rather than saying, what's the minimum you'd have me to do, God? I'm going to go all the way. What would you have me to do? How much more could I possibly do for you, God? In every area of my life, when it comes to my health, at that point in my life, I weighed a good 40 pounds more than I do right now. I was unhealthy. I had a MRSA staph infection that kept popping back up. I kept having to go back to the hospital to figure out how to take care of this staph infection. Loma Linda told me I had MRSA, and they prescribed some heavy antibiotics that like turn your eyes red, and I was just in a lot of trouble. But I began to say, okay, God, what are the principles in your word about eating healthfully? How could I live my life a little more healthfully? And as I began to follow those principles, God totally transformed my life, and God set me on a path that's brought me a lot more health, a lot more happiness. You see, the commandments aren't just for heaven. They're for now. They're commandments that bring you life. They bring you happiness. They bring you well-being. Every area of my life, when I think about it, I thought I was giving up on adventure. In order to follow God, I thought you'd have to give up on all the excitement in life. You know how I like to do extreme things? Well, since I started following God, a lot of my jobs have been ones where, okay, I had to go rock crawling and on the Rubicon. I've had to take kids on backpacking trips for weeks during the summer. I've had to do all these things that I really wanted to do anyways, but now I'm doing it as a part of reaching out to people for God. God will give you the desires of your heart when you delight in him first. Friends, there's no better path than following Jesus with all of your heart, even with your finances. Jesus says in Malachi that, test me and see if you bring me your tithes, if I won't open the windows of heaven for you. And when I was in this, when I was down in Southern California trying to make money, I began to stop paying tithe. I'm like, man, I can't afford that. That's not paying off. I can't do this. And I began to stop giving offerings, and I was trying to get everything to myself. And in the process, I was having a really hard time making those credit card payments every month. And I was really struggling to get by financially. I didn't have any savings. But when I began giving my life to God, I began to pray a different prayer. I began to say, God, I want to give more to you. How can you open up the floodgates of heaven so that I can possibly give you more? Because there's no greater joy than giving to Jesus. And so I began to say at first, well, okay, I'm returning tithe, and maybe I'll do an extra 10% on top of that. And that worked out, and God provided for my needs. I said, wow, this is incredible. This doesn't make sense. But then I met Leah, and in our walk together, God has taken us on an incredible journey where we have watched as God is able to provide for all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We've watched as last year it didn't even make sense. When you look at our tax returns, and we gave away 60% of our gross income, and yet God provided for everything we needed. When we came here to Modesto, he provided for everything we needed. We didn't have any furniture. God provided furniture for us. He provided couches for us. We didn't have a bed set. We didn't have dressers. God provided all those things for us. He provided a house that's nothing fancy. It's nothing like amazing, but yet it's just what we needed. He provided a washer and dryer for us that were given to us by our landlord. God will provide for all of your needs. All you need to do is delight yourself in him. That happiness that I was looking for all along, that I kept winding up feeling empty, if only I had gone to Jesus in the first place. Friends, why not start today? Say, Jesus, I want to enter into life. I don't just want to enter into eternal life. Yes, I want to be there. I want to be there on the sea of glass, worshiping Jesus. But Jesus, I want to enter into life today. Because you know what's best for my life. And my life will be the best ever as I follow Jesus Christ. He's got incredible surprises for you. He wants to do amazing things. But the question is, will we fully follow him? Will we be ready to give up everything? He may not ask you to sell it all, but he does ask you to give it all up and surrender it to him. You'll never regret keeping his commandments because they bring you life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the indescribable gift of Jesus. And Lord, as we look at Jesus and we see what you've done for us, we can't help but be ready to give our all. You've given so much for us, Jesus. Lord, we want to be followers of you. We want to walk in your footsteps. We want to make the opposite choice of the rich young ruler. We want to say, Jesus, we give up everything if that's what it takes, because we're following you, because keeping your commandments brings us life. Lord Jesus, we could never do this on our own, but you are the one who promises to work in us, to will and to do of your good pleasure. So this week, Father, I pray for each and every one of my friends out there that you would bless them as they go forward and as they live a life of love and as they live to keep your commandments. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. May God bless you all this week as you go out to live in the life, the abundant life that Jesus Christ gives you. May he bless you with an abundance. May he bless you as you seek Jesus with all of your heart. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.